So now, after understanding the technology support which is driving this omni-channel revolution, we enter into understanding international logistics and supply chain management understanding. So what is logistics? Logistics is defined as a management of the process of planning, implementing, and controlling the physical and information flow concerned with the material and final goods from the point of origin to the point of usage. This is by the Council of Logistics Management. The management process of planning, implementing, and controlling what physical and information flow. So physical goods as well as the information linked to that physical goods from place of origin to the point of usage, that is end customer. International logistics involves the management of these resources in a company's supply chain across at least one international border. It means when you say international, it has to cross at least one border. It may be entirely under you, it may be partially under you. That aspect is a different thing, but customer is not supposed to be bothered about it. Okay. You might have outsourced part of your supply chain to third party, but customer needs a seamless supply. It may need a support from three different types of processes, also called logistics channels. So we will get into that. Mode of transportation is one of it. Goods are shipped via air, sea, rail, and road. So any of the means of transportation. Then comes the custom regulations and trade compliances. So these are those component as we are discussing. So mode of transport, then comes various regulation and compliances. We have learned in earlier sessions, World Trade Organization helps you minimize restrictions. Likewise, you have United States, Mexico, Canada Agreement or ASEAN Free Trade Agreement. They either free you from various trade, international trade issues, or they make certain things cumbersome so that they're in local industry, this thing is protected. You see, nowadays, the way in USA what is happening, its intent is to protect the local industry and country. Okay. And therefore, various counter tariffs and those issues are, that they are fighting with various nations. Leaving that aside, warehousing and distribution center, of course, the third component, very, very critical for a successful handling of logistics. So you need efficient storage facility near key market, yet do not get into the government taxes and all. So like, for example, in Bombay, all warehouses are outside octroi or limit where when they enter, they have to pay. So the goods are stored. When the material is flowing into the last channel, at that time, you pay for that government octroi, etc. Because you know that this material is now going to get consumed by the end consumer. Means it is going to reach the retailer and then through them the final consumer. Otherwise, before that, what's the point in paying the taxes and then storing those goods for a longer period? So this warehousing, lot of automation that has happened there. Okay, let's understand something about international logistics channel. The transaction channel involves buying, selling, and collection of the payment. So that's a transactionally. You order, okay. There is a party who's selling you, payment settlement happens. The distribution channel, on the other hand, involves actual physical movement of the resources, product that you have ordered throughout the supply chain process from acquisition to sale. So, good that you ordered is acquired and shipped in a way that it reaches the end consumer. Okay, the documentation communication channel. So the one is the transaction channel, comes the distribution channel, and the third is the documentation and communication channel. This involves management of information regarding the resources, products such as inventory control, commercial shipping, related documents. Goods come to you without any hassle, but the supply chain manager has to comply with border processes, custom processes, etc. So they require the documentation and communication channel, which is again a back-end channel. So that's a requirement of the international logistics. Internationally, logistics can be different from the international market. So market to market, you might have to adopt a different formats. Logistics is, as we said, all about movement of physical goods or the information from point of origin to the point of consumption. it in a way also applies that inventory has to be managed, information has to be properly managed, okay, and therefore it identifies where the goods are that you come to know when if somebody places an order, from what is to be done now and when will it reach customer, or when it is supposed to reach customer. If you are an Amazon Prime customer, you are assured delivery within some time. So even when the order received, it has to be classified priority delivery versus non-priority delivery. So firms today strive to closely integrate the CRM data. So that is the customer relationship management data. And then in the back end, they do one end the inventory management, and then the other end they provide real-time access so that you come to know how's your good moving, etc. You front-end staff gets the update as to, so if you call up an inquiry, they tell you that, ma'am, it is likely to be dispatched tomorrow and will be at your, you know, desk by tomorrow evening. So that is the confidence which they are able to say, because back-end has provided them the relevant movement data. So characteristics of, or deliverables, so to say, of an effective logistics management system. What can be classified as an effective management system? So here, to meet the firm's production demand by having a good inventory of the goods. So proper inventory of the raw material is one aspect. Providing warehousing and or logistical storage facility in the local market. Now, produce goods in say Gurgaon or produce goods in say Rajasthan, but consumption is happening all over India. So how do you ensure that there is a local availability, so when the local order is placed, from the local warehouse it is picked up and delivered. So even that local warehouse management is very critical. Management of international shipping. If you are in an international business, so naturally you are supposed to ship it internationally. So how do you manage that? Have an effective inventory system of goods that are stocked in warehouse. Many formats are there, last in, first out, first in, first out. In a way, it you should ensure that none of your goods get into redundant category. Okay, you must come to know that these goods are like, you know, sold for so many times, or the pharmaceutical for that matter, there is an expiry date. So you must have a control in a way that you don't end up in supplying the currently acquired pharmaceutical products, and thereby you ignore earlier expired, earlier purchased pharmaceutical products in your godown already lying. If you do not pay attention, they may expire. So that's a loss to you. When customer receives it, he will make not only you and cry, you make criminally, you are liable. So things. So this is what is effective inventory system is required. International supply chain management is involved, and therefore your coordination of various flow of material, raw material from one end, production, and then post-production distribution across multiple countries, it's a complete supply chain system that is required. Unlike logistics, which focuses on, because scope of logistics is limited, it is like only focuses on movement from a place of origin to the place of consumption. So that's why the supply chain is a complete plan where it has to answer all various aspects, right from procurement of raw material to production planning to relationship various suppliers, entire warehouse management, etc., the risk management and logistics management. So that's the scope of supply chain management. Global brands like Apple, Samsung rely on their efficient supply chain management system to source components from different parts of the world so that their interest is protected, and then assemble them in the specialized manufacturing hub, and later that manufactured goods has to go worldwide to their customers. So that's the power of international supply chain management that you must understand. Strategies for effective global supply chain management. How you can make your global supply chain management very strategic for you. So global sourcing and supplier management. Here, your global supply chain management has to see globe as a village, as they say, where you have to explore various avenues through which you can do sourcing, which will help you to minimize your raw material or input cost. Okay. So you have to identify multiple supplier country. It is balancing also. It's a risk balance also. right from the Ukraine-Russia war, where world got stuck due to that chip, to that now currently rare earth material that China is blocking, and therefore various automotive companies are at a risk of losing production in the market. So it's like developing a multiple supplier base, so you protect your interests. Second is the supply chain integration and technology adaptation. So now you integrate your resource or a raw material intake, production, and then distribution in a way that you even integrate the technology and you bring things like artificial intelligence, big data, or cloud computing, or Internet of Things, etc. So that overall there is a real-time monitoring of not only the dispatches, delivery, the inventory, including on the other side predictive demand forecasting, etc. Sustainable supply chain practices. Your practice of supply chain has to be aligned with the global standards of sustainability. So adopting green logistics, ethical sourcing to reduce environmental impact. So even that focus is now coming. So like many companies have declared that by so and so time, they'll be carbon neutral. It is not an easy statement. Today they are working with their back-end counterparts so that they also become carbon neutral in their raw material. Only then you can become carbon neutral. So this is a lot of effort that go in getting the green logistics being implemented. So precisely we try and understand what is green logistics and sustainable distribution. Brief understanding is required. Today business has to adopt, maybe out of force many times, either regulation demands or customer conscious and awareness is compelling them. Green logistics is becoming more and more acceptable norm, okay, and that companies are imbibing. Green logistics means focus on minimizing environmental impact by adopting eco-friendly practices in transportation, in warehousing, and in supply chain management. Okay, eco-friendly, that is what one has to understand. What it means is that goods that you deliver are efficient and responsible with the minimal carbon footprints. So you do not generate a lot of waste, you recycle waste, and those kind of concepts you bring in. So like for example, I know Red Bull, the cans that you use for that energy drink, they have a back-end system where their cans are obtained from garbage, they are recycled and regenerated. So it's like they are minimizing the environmental damage. Okay, so key elements of green logistics. One is it is very energy efficient transportation, diesel versus electric. So many logistics companies are going madly, if I have to say. Their last mile, I think they have many of them already started using most electric vehicle. Now the long distance travel, also the trucks and all are getting developed. So they are kind of adopting that, so that increasingly they move towards electric vehicles, so that the harm of diesel is minimized. Sustainable packaging, so that biodegradable use of packaging material, so that even if the customer dumps it as it is, separation of garbage, you see that is happening in by municipalities across the country. So that biodegradability is also playing a part of the green logistics. Reverse logistics, it includes the return, recycling, and disposal of the product. Manufacturer started owning that, okay? So help this, they do it by helping reduce the landfill waste. Apple trade-in program. So Apple has a trade-in program where they encourage customers to return their old devices for recycling, against which they get sufficient incentive in terms of discounts or exchange offers, so to say. Adopting green logistics reduces operational costs and enhances company's reputation for environment responsibility. Today, many customers are conscious that they shun the company or the brand which is not environmentally conscious. So you see that you will not face those kind of challenges. Sustainable distribution strategy, that is another part of the green logistics. So here, route optimization is very important. Using now artificial intelligence, there are logistics platforms that helps you to suggest the optimum delivery route depending on the congestion and various things, and thereby reduces your fuel consumption. Second is the decentralized warehousing. Establishing multiple regional distribution center reduces your transportation costs and thereby cutting emission. Your inventory management is also still efficient because a lot of automation has come in, so that barcoding, scanning, etc., so that data entry is not there. And as a result, data management, the inventory management has become very powerful. So you come to know exactly what is happening, where threshold is reached, minimum order quantity is reached, what all is happening. That eco-friendly delivery options. Many companies nowadays offer you green shipping choices, such as delivery by bicycle or electric vehicle, etc. There may be a different delivery time linked to it, but they are offering now choices to the customer. So this and similar such initiatives aligns with the global environment regulations like European Union Green Deal and the Paris Climate Agreement, which many countries have accepted. So you are gradually falling in line with that. So that's the meaning of it. So future trends in all this is like electrification of the fleets. Companies like Walmart, UPS are investing in the electric vehicle, not only the last mile, even in the intermediary phase, supply chain, smart supply chain. So they blockchain, IoT of Internet of Things help track carbon emission and ensure sustainable sourcing by taking optimal route, minimizing the fuel consumption, etc. So these are the various ways the IoT of things are, Internet of Things are helping. Carbon offset program, many brands now invest in reforestation and renewable energy projects to offset against the carbon that they emit in their supply chain. So when they do that, there is an offset program. So plant so many trees, so company will take that as a commitment. So challenge in green logistics include high investment cost, lack of infrastructure for that. It's an idea based, okay, and resistance to change. Still many companies are not in the state of mind to accept this as a necessary change. So now we will learn few regulatory challenges in the international marketing. We have studied earlier how trade policies, tariffs, non-tariff, various points vis-a-vis the compliance regulations, etc., impact international business. So things like import-export restrictions, tariffs, trade agreements, regulatory bodies like World Trade Organization, regional trade blocs like NAFTA and ASEAN, etc. They set various trade rules and ensure their compliances. Now the challenge is there is that company must navigate frequent policy changes if that is happening. Currently there is a state of uncertainty worldwide because US has made this subject so loud and clear, and they are still not able to arrive at a common ground. They are still not arrive at a consensus with many countries, and therefore so in that area, companies should be able to navigate frequent policy changes, exports control. Companies will face various exports controls, sanctions imposed on specific countries so that you can't deal with those countries and related material. So these are another aspect of the international business. Consumer protection and data privacy laws are emerging. Governments are enforcing stricter consumer protection and data privacy to safeguard the consumer rights, ensure ethical marketing practice and secure data handling. That is what companies are facing as a legal now laws in place. Example, the EU's General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR, mandates strict guidelines on how companies collect, store and use data of their consumer. Google and Facebook have faced multi-million dollar fine for GDPR violations. And there are a couple of them, they are still facing it. India has also proposed a law where data of the Indian origin customer has to be stored locally. So such kind of, earlier the companies like Meta and they all kind of protested, but they eventually complied with. Marketing restrictions, company imposed some nature of advertising ban or certain product advertisement ban like a tobacco, okay. So in that case also you have a business challenge. Example, Coca-Cola and Nestle had to modify product labeling and marketing studies in India due to strict Food and Health Regulation Act related to the labeling. So this is a regulatory challenges in the international market. Next comes the ethical and cultural consideration in global marketing. Cultural differences and ethical standards vary widely across countries, impacting branding, advertising, and business operations. Okay. For example, H&M faced backlash in China for an ad perceived as racially insensitive, leading to boycotts and store closures. Advertisement that they released was found to be racially very insensitive, so people have boycotted. Bribery and corruption law. Many companies have strict laws against bribery and unethical business practices. I have worked in one US-based company, and the first day I had to sign legal binding that I will not get into bribery and corruption practices to obtain business, because I've been into the business development side. So you see that so much and more that you have to comply with. Example, US Foreign Corrupt Practice Act, FCPA, and the UK Bribery Act imposes heavy penalties on companies engaged in corrupt practices abroad to secure business. Localization strategy. Companies are expected to localize certain part of their manufacturing or the product material. So brands adopt marketing campaigns to align with the local culture. So this is also about the cultural shift. But I remember what I was trying to tell you was, in India, automotive companies, all foreign automotive companies has to ensure that there is minimum 30% localization of components. Then only they are allowed to roll out the product and market in India. Companies must conduct extensive cultural research. We have discussed that. Train employees on ethical compliances, okay, and develop region-specific marketing strategy to succeed globally. So many things may work in certain region, many things may not work in certain regions. So all aspects put together, you must do ethical and culturally sensitive marketing. That is what is in general. So last but not least, what we get into is a distribution of services in the international marketing. All along we have done it for the product. Very small effort to help you understand how services as a product of your organization, service organizations, can be distributed. Okay. It's a unique way. Therefore, it is important for us to understand. Okay. Entry level strategies for entries, that depends in the ability of the firm. Understanding of the service marketing in the international listing, you have to know two aspects. Ability of the firm to protect its intellectual property right, IP rights, and control its key resources, which actually helps you to create the value that you are offering. So that is number one. Second is desired level of customer interaction that your product should have, high or low. These two dimensions create various distribution strategy. As you can see it out here, so I have in the bottom degree of required customer interaction, that is x-axis, low to high, and control of the IP and source of value creation that you can exert by yourself. Again, high to low, that is how it is given. So now remember that there the high is in the bottom and low is on the top. Based on this, three distinct service distribution strategy emerge, which is given to you in a purple field boxes. First is export directly. You do not require fancy infrastructure and all these things. So things like database services can be transmitted through internet, films can be nowadays possible to transmit through satellite, music, softwares. You don't require any fancy infrastructure, online advertising, e-books. Online advertising can be created by your agency in India, but released across Europe. That is also possible. So that's also an export or a distribution of services. So export directly. Second come is the asset light strategy. For example, licensing, franchising, or joint venture. If your product allows you to adhere to, of your services, sorry, allows you to adhere to this asset light service distribution strategy, then one should try. So things like car rental, hotels, fast food, courier services. Look at how Uber has come into India, captured market, but they do not own cars. It's only that app that they have like kind of localized, and they are making money. So likewise, hotel chains, etc., where you create an asset light. You have some property acquired, furnished as a hotel. You give your brand name and do the business. So that's how the service export, second strategy. The third is foreign direct investment. Like in product, here also you get into foreign direct investment. But however, either it's a brand centric or it's a knowledge centric. Okay, here you can do merger, acquisition, etc. But look at the example that I have given, legal services. Here it's an intelligent person who resides there, you know. So you will have to have a very popular law firm, very popular this thing. They are worldwide recognized, but that is coming out of the fact that they will have equally intelligent person in Brazil, they will have equally intelligent person in Europe, they will have equally intelligent person in India to tackle client cases. Or an advertisement agency. There are worldwide agencies, you know, they are across the world. They are able to do that by directly investing. Okay, so that's why here, how they ensure that that creative guy do not create a problem in future when they leave, they are stricter contractual terms and conditions that you make them go through, etc. And you protect your interest. So here, though you are not able to select very, very rigidly cover that fellow can still go out and start his own, you know, creative agency, but it's your name and the solution that you have been giving. People want to come to you rather than run behind the person who left you. So this and many such aspects decides the distribution of services in the international market. So just giving you the idea, asset light strategy, export directly I am not covering, you understand. Here services like food, hotel chain, mobility, supply chain management, where brands and proprietary asset is developed and needs moderate level of customer contact. McDonald's, Hyatt, Uber, DHL, so licensing, franchising or joint venture, this thing is possible. Foreign direct investment, certain kinds of services where value addition come mainly from the skill and knowledge of the service provider and where a high degree of customer contact is needed. Agency, high contact with the client. Legal, high contact with the client. So that's what example given there. But value addition will come through you, through your knowledge and the skill that you provide. So here, knowledge, judgment, credences most sought after from the agency due to their reputation, managing consultancy, creative design development, legal services. So companies like Accenture, WPP Group, Publicis, which is an aid agency worldwide, they command this because client will come to you as an agency of repute, not run behind the creative guy who left your agency and started his own agency. Okay, employee under the direction of someone knowledgeable in the relationship built with their client. Okay, however, tighter control so that this person cannot directly poach your client. So that is what this agency maintains. So that's a foreign direct investment. So with this, we complete this chapter of international distribution. And then thank you.